Welcome to Noon Edition. I'm Bob Zaltzberg, editor of the Herald Times in Bloomington. And today we're going to talk about how to keep your kids busy this summer. Mary Catherine Carmichael could not be with us today. I think she's keeping her kid Dylan busy today. But we do have three guests. Joshua Wolf is the Monroe County Public Library Children's Services Manager. Lisa Ciampelli is the Assistant Manager. And the Ellettsville Children's Librarian, Stephanie Holman, is also here. If you have questions or comments, please phone us at 855-0811 or 877-285-9348. Or you can send your email to noon@indiana.edu. Welcome to all of you.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. I've already been warned that they're all storytellers, so
it'll
be fun. It should be fun. I have to ask the Bloomington Library people about the flood. That's my first question.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to know, there's a lot of water down there. What happened to the library?
That's actually funny because one of our completely unflappable staff members, Kathy Dyer, called to the back and said, "Josh, come out. We've got a leak." And I went running out with a trash can. And she said, "That's not going to do it." Because if you've been down there, we have those glass walls facing Grant Street. And it was like looking into an aquarium.
Oh, my gosh.
There was like 2 feet of water you could see underneath, and it was just leaking in under the door.
Uh-huh.
And back by the staff entrance, too. So we just had to run and get extractors.
Yeah. So what happened? I mean, how did anything get damaged?
A lot of carpet.
The carpet, but we did not have any damage to the books or some of the computer workstations that were near there too were not hurt at all.
That's good. So everything's running smoothly now today, 2 days later?
Yeah. The dust and water have settled.
That's good. As smoothly as things ever run. All right. Well, I wanted to I guess we can start just by talking about the summer reading program, because I know that's a big program for you. Who wants to start?
Da.
Go ahead, Josh.
Oh, okay. It's Catch the Reading Bug. We have a new theme every year, and it comes down to us from the State Library. And it's been going now since May 23rd. In May, we already gave out at the main branch 1,172 guides. So 1,172 kids have already joined up. And I don't know, Ellettsville?
Over 500 that first startup period in May, and now we're up to a little over 600 at the Ellettsville branch.
So this is big for us because they all come crashing in like a week. It was sort of like the flood. You know, we have the flood of children that we sort of brace ourselves for.
Well, we do invite them, don't we?
Yeah.
So that's 1,772 children, roughly, give or take a few.
That's just at the main.
And so far. Main and Ellettsville.
And they can also participate on the bookmobile. We haven't received numbers yet for how many children receive their guides on the bookmobile.
Okay, so how old are these kids?
Anywhere from birth to birth on up, really. The target audience or the majority that we see are generally around first through third grade.
Yeah.
Seems to be the most popular age, but it's open to children of all ages.
Yeah, birth on up is pretty open-ended. I mean, could I participate, for instance?
We do say completed sixth grade.
And we emphasize children of all ages.
All right. So how many different librarians do you have working with these kids?
We have a large staff. There are four of us professional librarians.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are how many paraprofessionals?
Five paraprofessionals.
Right. And we've got two interns now and a host of teen volunteers who are helping out.
Uh-huh.
And SLIS volunteers from the School of Library and Information Science as well.
Okay.
We really recruit as many extra hands as we can get during the summer. We really see our participation increase tremendously.
All right. So Catch the Reading Bug. So explain how this works. I mean, I bring in my I'm a storyteller too. Bring in my 7-year-old son, and I want him to have a great time this summer and read some good books. So what's going to happen to him?
Well, what we do is we welcome you to the desk, and out at the Ellettsville branch, I'm the only children's services librarian out there, but we're all dependent on the clerks at the checkout desk, and especially at the branch. A lot of our implementation of the program happens at the checkout desk and at the information desk. So we all pitch in, and all the staff looks forward to it and are very good at inviting the children. Oh, have you gotten your reading game yet? And most of them are really making a beeline, if you don't mind the pun, to the library for this game. And they come in and they say things like, Can I have that reading thing? Or do you have that bug? I want the bug. And occasionally the reading game board. But at the checkout desk and information desk, we will hand the child this game board that they put their first and last name on. And we then ascertain how long they've played this game and how much explanation they need. And if they're very young or new to the community or didn't hear us when we went to the schools, because we do a lot of explaining of our game at the school promotional events that we do. We visit every school in the Monroe County Community School System and the Richland Bean Blossom School System in May promoting this. So a lot of them know how to play the game to begin with, but and they just they are so empowered by their knowledge of how to play this game, because it's not a simple, easy to play game. It has four parts to it, and they can mix it up and play it any way they want, so they feel really empowered on how to play it. But some of those younger kids, especially the parents who are involving their children who are preschool, they need an explanation on how to adapt this game board for their pre-reader or their new reader. And so we'll launch into a longer explanation or a short one, and then we point out the different areas in the library where they can begin to play the game and always offer that help to find books, and off they go and they start their game.
And essentially the game has four different parts to it, and it's a chance for children to earn points for doing different literacy activities throughout the summer. And of course, we're emphasizing reading for fun. And so anytime they finish reading a book, or they have someone read aloud to them for 30 minutes or longer, or if they're listening to stories on cassette or CD, and they can choose whatever it is that they would like to read, we emphasize that they get to choose things that are of interest to them, whether it's magazines, graphic novels, information books, their favorite stories that they've read at home 100 times. they get to decide.
And they get a point for each time they read it?
Okay. And then there's a couple other literacy activities that they can do. On our website, we have a computer question each week, and this year our emphasis is on bugs. And so every week there's a new question about bugs and
very
a chance.
Very popular with adults.
A chance to find out more than you might ever thought you'd know about bugs. So that's something that you can do at any time for folks who have internet access from home. They can do it from home, or when they come into the library, we can help them find that page. And then we also have a challenge activity in the library this year. There's a choice of either reading a rebus story, which is a story that has both words and pictures to go along with the story, and we encourage parents or adults who are in with younger children to read through this story with them. And then older elementary children might like to try solving the secret message of the week, which is spelled out in pictures of bugs.
Ooh, it sounds like fun. It sounds like an adult thing to do.
Yeah, and it's a literacy-based activity that is designed to bring them into one of our facilities. The weekly challenge element, which is the third element, there's reading books, the computer question, the weekly challenge. We want them to develop a weekly habit, and then the fourth one is programs. Our programs.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. I want to remind our listeners that our guests today are Joshua Wolf, who's the Monroe County Public Library Children's Services Manager, and Assistant Manager Lisa Ciampelli, and the Ellettsville Children's Librarian Stephanie Holman. These are three people that I can tell have way too much fun at work.
That's right.
And so if you have questions about what you might want to do with your young child or your young grandchild this summer, please give us a call at 855-0811 or 877-285-9348, or send your email to noon@indiana.edu. So in the summer reading program, you have a different theme every year. As you said, bugs are big this year. What was last year?
Get a clue.
Get a clue. I don't know.
Right. And we said that with quotes around it quite a bit to one another. Yeah. Uh-huh. Get a clue at your library.
Yeah.
It was very mystery oriented.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to say, too, you mentioned the fun aspect, but really this grew up within the library industry because there was a lot of national research that sort of indicated that there was what they called summer reading loss. It came out of Johns Hopkins and places, and kids were losing about 2 months of their reading skills, or like 22%, and the teachers were having to make that up in the fall. And then over successive summers, this was contributing to like a widening gap between different socioeconomic classes. So the libraries, we do try to make it fun, but there was actually, we really felt like we were filling a need in the community.
And no offense about that fun thing.
Hey, we're actually really serious. I'm telling you, man.
So is there any research to show how this program has filled that gap, what the success has been?
There's really quite a bit of research that shows how public libraries have helped children either maintain or even sometimes improve their reading levels just by participating in regular reading for fun. And the emphasis has been on free reading, where children can choose what it is that they want to read. And it just kind of isn't intuitively makes sense that when you're getting to decide for yourself what you want to read, you're a little bit more motivated to do that. So there really has been quite a bit of research that demonstrates the value of public libraries' summer reading programs.
Okay. And just 15 minutes a day. And we try to emphasize that 15 minutes a day, make it in a space that's a comfortable, relaxed setting. Don't make it like a school assignment. Just try to plug it in with our game, and it will be more accessible for the child rather than a homework assignment. But just sit down and make this a balanced part of your day, and you'll get to the school year feeling up to speed, and we see that time and time again. But reading for fun, as you mentioned, you know, could you read the same book over and over again? Well, sure, if that's what they
that's what's fun.
If that's what's fun for them, and you know, they're retaining the words and the concepts there for themselves, and it's their choice, and they don't have to read library books. This way, this program can go with them wherever they travel this summer. So a lot of our kids leave as soon as school's out, and we don't see them again until right before school. They can take this game board with them or print it off our website, and they can read whatever they want all over the planet. They can get on our website, do the computer question far from home. It's just the programs and the weekly challenge that they couldn't do from afar, but this game can be played anywhere on the planet.
I'm thinking they could read the Herald Times.
They could.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be fantastic.
Right there.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's talk about the programs that they could participate in during the summer. Stephanie, you want to talk about that?
So many, and on all of them.
Well, you can each pick one.
Okay. Sponsored by our Friends of the Library, an extremely important group who help not only pay for this game board that we have produced in mass numbers for the flood of children coming in, but they help us conduct many of this. Many we do ourselves as professional children's librarians. We sure know how to throw a good program, don't we? Mm-hmm. Over the years, we've done lots of storytelling, craft, activity programs. I've got one called Get Buggy. Huh, imagine that.
Did you just create that one this year?
Yes, but it's designed on a program I have every year, which is an activity-based program where they walk in the room and there's six or seven activities around the room, and they, you know, rotate through the different bug activities. And here's our description. Rotate through a series of buggy activity craft stations with your own bug collector and journal. Participate in a worm race. Eat food that looks like bugs. Make creepy crawly crafts and much more. So
how they participate in the worm race.
Yeah. Well, yes, with worms that are provided. And no worm will be harmed in the process.
No worm. Okay. Or eaten.
Let's hope not.
Right. Okay. Well, Lisa, how about any?
Oh, gosh. We're doing
some. Can you
top
that?
No, I cannot. We're doing some midweek mayhem kinds of things. Wednesday's coming up. We have just a variety of things. Josh is going to be doing some juggling, one of his many talents.
Badly.
And some magic tricks. We'll have a day that we focus on different ways of jumping rope and playing hopscotch and some of the classic rhymes that go along with those, making friendship bracelets. We've also invited the kids to bring in any bugs that they might find in their backyard in a sealed container, please, with air holes. and we'll help them identify that bug with some of our reference sources.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Josh?
All right.
Besides
the juggling, I really want to promote the Fridays. We're doing a summer drawing spectacular for kids kindergarten through sixth grade. Finished kindergarten through sixth grade, starting on June 13th. Every Friday from 2 to 3, pile into the library, and we're going to do how to draw bugs, how to draw Captain Underpants, how to draw supervillains, superheroes. It'll be a different theme each week. Uh-huh. And after that, most Fridays there's going to be a movie, too, bug movie, of course.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the first one, do you know?
B-movie, isn't it?
Oh, I heard that. I heard that on WFIU this morning, I believe, that B-movie is going to be shown.
And we're going to show Microcosmos out at the Eltsville branch and then James and the Giant Peach. But I just want to remind that all of our programming is somewhat collection-based or literature-based in that we are trying to help the children have great experiences in their community with their families and other kids. So many of these kids will come to the library and see friends that they're missing this summer. But it's also a chance for us to highlight different areas of the collection for checkout. We always have books on display, and they just get checked out immediately after these programs, and people learn more about what we have to offer through these. And we've had a lot of going to have a lot of professional performers that we invite. Thanks again to the Friends Group. We just had our first one yesterday. Ad Zook's Puppets was at both facilities yesterday, and it was a fantastic program. Really good.
All right. Our phone numbers again, 855-0811, 877-285-9348. And you can send your email to noon@indiana.edu. We're talking about all the fun that we would all like to be having this summer, but just our three guests, Joshua Wolf, Lisa Ciampelli, and Stephanie Holman, actually will be having with kids at the libraries in this area in Ellettsville and in Bloomington. I want to ask about the kids that do come in. How for these different programs, I know you probably have a range of numbers for the programs, but what can you sort of identify a typical number? Would you have 20 kids, 3 kids, 150 kids?
It totally depends on the program. We've got, you know, for Ed Zooks, we just packed them in, and we did it in the auditorium because you can reach everybody. But, you know, with certain – Lisa's doing some craft-oriented programs that you just – you know, you'll cut it down and you'll limit it to like 35 and you'll have to do registration. So it does pay to come in and look at the guide or look at the website, mcpl.info, and see, because some programs are registration and some are drop-in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you'll have a choice between programs at the main library or the Ellettsville branch. And one that I hope to have record numbers for is a program where the Ellettsville branch is going to leave the building and go out into the community, which we love to do. And we're partnering with 4 other groups, and we'll be at Flatwoods Park. We're going to have a picnic at Flatwoods Park. This is our second year of doing this on June 10th, so next Tuesday, from 5:30 to 7:30. And you can just drop in, but with the Bloomington Hospital, which will be providing a nutritious meal for everyone who attends. The County Parks and Rec, which is going to dedicate a new ball field that night at 6:30. And then with our own Edgewood Primary Family Resources Center, which is going to be giving away free books. And each child will get to decorate their own tote bag to take away. And they'll have the climbing wall there and tug of war. And it's just going to be a great time. And we had quite a bit since it's outdoors. And I hope to beat last year's numbers. But that's just an example of many ways that we partner with other groups.
Mm-hmm. Josh?
I wanted to mention teen summer programs, too, because we said, oh, to grade 6. But this year, which we didn't have last year, there's a teen summer reading program. And the teens can come in and get a reading log, read 10 books, and get a prize. And they're also doing quite a few really cool programs of their own. They're going to decorate the library and come in and paint, I'm told, paint the graphic novel area. They have an Insert Your Name Here anime club. The summer reading program goes until August 1st. They're doing a 12-hour comic book day, actually, in conjunction with the children's department on June 19th for 12 hours, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Kids can come in. That's in partnership with Vintage Phoenix Comics. They can come in and write, draw. They're going to try to put comic books together. They're going to have food to eat. And so I've said to mention Twilight by Stephanie Meyer.
Yeah, this book is really big right now with teens. Uh-huh. And
what's the name of it?
Twilight. It's the first in a series by author Stephanie Meyer. And they're going to have a book discussion group both at the main library and the Ellettsville branch. And
they're going to do Twilight, right?
Yep. Okay. And they're going to do Twilight at Ellettsville as well. I think she's about to release her 4th book in this series. Mm-hmm. And it's just a big hit with everybody, and I look forward to having to go into the meeting room at the Ellettsville branch and tap them down because they're getting too noisy in there to talk about this book because they're all very excited about it. And our teen librarian, Sarah Bowman, will come out to the branch to conduct that program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I have a few other sort of, I guess, housekeeping questions. Finances. I mean, how are all your programs funded? Is it just through the library? Or you've mentioned some sponsors already. Mm-hmm. Kids have to pay for anything?
We have great friends.
Yeah, friends of the library.
All of our programs are free thanks to the Friends of the Library.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They work all year long raising money through book sale and other fundraising events. And they, we couldn't do programming. We couldn't have a summer reading program without them.
Mm-hmm. The final prize for the summer reading game is a paperback book that the children get to pick out from the prize collection, and that's all provided by support from the Friends of the Library.
Okay. And you mentioned the fact that you go to all the schools in the community, and I wanted to talk a little bit about outreach. I think that, you know, in those of us who live in Bloomington and Monroe County realize that there are some of our elementary schools are very well supported by parents, are very well supported by PTOs, and have a very high awareness of probably the need for summer reading and summer participation in programs. And there may be a couple of other schools that, where there isn't that high of a participation among parents and maybe not the drive from home to participate. How do you make sure that you have a good cross-section of kids from all over the community?
We get in those schools. Stephanie and Lisa both said we go to every school and we establish relationships with the media specialists in the school libraries there. We try to also not just schools, but you know, go and do programming in all areas of the county. So we do programming at the Banneker Center, mm-hmm. The Bookmobile, and Outreach Services. Outreach Services has been doing programming at Head Starts since November, right? And I think they're going to continue doing that in the fall.
But even if a child hears us in a school and they never are able, because they are dependent on their parents to bring them and to follow through, because I know they are going home and they are telling them what they heard. They get so excited from our promotional visits. And I know that they go home and tell, but they don't always get to come. But they have had that connection with the library through that visit to the school. They've had a library service. And over the years, as we build this relationship with the schools and the kids, they know us. We walk through the halls and they say, there's that library lady. Hey, Miss Stephanie. And
Do you remember me?
Sure, I remember your face. And over time, they build a relationship with the library, even if they never set foot in there. Maybe someday when they grow up and they're driving their car and they have their own kids, they say, I want to do this because I had this good feeling from these visits that I had. So even those who don't participate in our game board have had library service through our school visits, which we do throughout the year, not just with our summer reading program. And I just want to share a little story. We do this half-hour presentation, and we talk to the kids about our game board. Then we show a video that is made by our community access television station, CATS. And it's written by the Children's Department along with CATS. And I hope everybody gets a chance to see it on the CATS website or Channel 3, because Josh here is breaking all stereotypes of traditional library service with his
helmet,
with his active skateboarding through the library. But as we show this video, which then reinforces in a visually literate way what the game's about, and then after the video we talk again and we invite them to this free summer program provided by our friends group. Well, then they go home and they talk it up, and I had this one parent tell me, he came home and he wanted to go right then. We knew we couldn't get this game board till May 23rd, but it was Wednesday night. And to appease him, I had to bring him to the library. And once he was there, he was comforted that he hadn't missed anything. And and then she said he wasn't waiting for school to end. He was counting down to when summer reading started.
Oh, yeah.
So they get so excited about it.
In terms of, you know, there are very real reasons why some parents won't be able to get their kids there, you know, transportation reasons, they're working, daycare, whatever the issues are. Are there, in terms of outreach, are there ways to get some of these kids help?
That's something that we're looking at all the time. Right now, we really rely on the Bookmobile and the stops that they're making around the community. Especially when we visit schools that are far from the library, we'll emphasize that they can play the reading game. They can participate by visiting the Bookmobile.
But they can also print off the starter.
Yes, and page. For folks who have internet access from home, they can print out a reading log and get started that way. But we realize that a lot of kids are dependent upon the adults in their lives to bring them to the library or to help them participate. And when we visit the schools, we send home with each child a little flyer with the start date and just basic info, and encourage them to hand that to their parents and. Mm-hmm. Put it on the fridge and encourage, tell them about it. But we're also trying to reach some of those other children through Bookmobile service.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad you can't just load them all into the Bookmobile. Drive around for a while. That'd be good. All right. We've hit time to take a break today. So our phone number is again 855-0811, 877-285-9348. And you can send your email to noon@indiana.edu. We're talking about what's available for children this summer in the Monroe County Public Library here in Bloomington and in Ellettsville. You're listening to Noon Edition. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Noon Edition on member-supported WFIU. Production support comes from Closets 2, providing organized and expanded closet and storage space for home office and garage using a variety of systems with no major renovations. Closets 2 owned and operated in Bloomington, 332-2233. And from South Dunn Street Project, represented by Brian Lappin Real Estate, classic bungalow-inspired architecture in the Bryan Park neighborhood of Bloomington, www.southdunnstreet.info. If you're a person on the go, you can take WFIU programs with you. We're podcasting. Podcasting is a convenient and easy way to download audio files directly to your computer. Listen anytime from your computer, iPod, or portable player. You can download podcasts of full-length programs like Noon Edition, Ask the Mayor, and Harmonia, or short features like Kinsey Confidential, the Ether Game musical mini-quiz, and movie, play, and opera reviews. You can find out how with a visit to our website at wfiu.org.
Welcome back to Noon Edition. I'm Bob Zaltzberg from the Herald Times. Mary Catherine Carmichael cannot be with us today, but I have three guests. Stephanie Holman is the Ellettsville Children's Librarian. Joshua Wolf is here from the Monroe County Public Library. He's the Children's Services Manager. And the Assistant Manager, Lisa Ciampelli, is also here. If you have questions or comments, please phone us at 855-0811 or 877-285-9348 or send your email to noon@indiana.edu. And we sure would like to hear from some people from home. We can carry on this conversation for probably another hour and a half, but if you have questions or comments, please feel free to give us a call. One thing that Josh was talking about on the break, and I guess I'm just going to ask the question this way. If somebody has, say, an overdue library fee. You know, and they walk into the library, well, a bunch of sirens go off and, you know, lights start flashing.
We have throwing hatchets and the whole thing happens. Well, our director, Sarah, in a discussion with her, she mentioned to me that she had done research or read research that indicated a lot of adults who are not library users, when asked why not, they really thought that their library credit rating, as it were, had been ruined as a child. And they had never, you know, they just never go back. And we tell kids a lot in these visits that Stephanie's talking about, you can always come back to the library, even if you really do owe a lot. I always tell them, I owe $2,700. I make up a big thing. But we'll work with you. And I think that's a message that doesn't get out a lot because we have sort of a hardcore image, which allow
to continue. Well, you can pay 10% at a time to work that down. You don't have to pay it all at once. That helps a lot. And, yeah, I think people don't understand even what their fees are. So just call us up even if you're afraid of the hatchets that Josh was mentioning.
We won't trace the call.
They're storytellers. The hatchets, not true.
Not true,
the hatchets.
Right, okay. All right. You were talking about the age range that you have. You said birth to probably sixth grade. Mm-hmm. For I would think you would get a fair number of parents of toddlers who are looking for something to do in the summer. What kind of program do you have for them? Say somebody with their 2-year-old that just started asking why every time, for everything that happens.
The library is a great place to get your answer to why.
Yeah.
We have a number of different story times. The last Wednesday of the month, we have a story hour extravaganza in the auditorium that includes songs and films as well as storytelling. Mary Fraser is a tremendous librarian and storyteller who does our infant and toddler programs and has a program for called Tuneful Twos. It's especially for those curious 2-year-olds, as well as a separate program for babies and children who are 1-year-old. Mm-hmm. And Christina Jones, another librarian in our department, has really developed special interest in the Every Child Ready to Read initiative that our library has adopted that is really trying to explain to parents that it's never too early to start reading to your child, that babies need to be read to. Mm-hmm. And we'll be offering some workshops about that throughout the year as well as providing information on our website. Okay. It's there already on our website.
Okay. What's the relationship between the main library and the Ellettsville? branch. Well, you call it the Ellisville branch.
Ellisville branch, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. And the main branch, not the main library in the Ellisville branch. And
the rebels.
And we are very closely affiliated with the Children's Services. I am actually under the auspices of the Ellisville branch, not the Children's Services, but we work very closely together. In fact, with summer reading, we will meet in August to review, while it's still fresh in our mind, how the summer went. I'll come over to the main branch and meet with these incredible folks at the Children's Department. And you want to talk about a good meeting to attend. Lots of fun at these meetings. And then in November, we really start in earnest. We're professionals. And then in November, we start once again to really brainstorm, what we'll do with that theme that comes from the State Library, and then what we'll do with our timeline and preparing. There's a lot of work that goes into what we hope is looking pretty easy right now down in the Children's Department and at the Ellisville branch. And so I work with them very closely throughout the year. And so we really work together on the summer reading program, but other elements of the year also. And back to your young child question, young children's programming, we really do a lot of infant and toddler and preschooler programming all through the year. And frankly, at the summertime, I have to tone that down a little bit, and I emphasize the school age programming because they're out and available and a little less busy. So we try to offer more for them in the summer and a little less for the preschoolers. But then during the school year, you'll find the preschool programs increasing, but we still have lots of options for school kids all through the year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what about your relationship with librarians in the public schools? Or are they now called media specialists?
Media specialists. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is that what you guys are called? Or,
No.
Well, you're children's librarians.
We're not. Yeah. Well, we're specialists, but we try to maintain our partnerships with them. We're on their listserv, and at university school, Mary DeLiso is a former MCPL librarian, children's librarian. So a lot of our goals are the same. They have some constraints with curriculum and stuff. But we did a survey, a community-wide survey, as part of our strategic plan at the beginning of the year. And 67% of respondents who were mailed this survey said that they thought the main role for the library in the future should be literacy and education, which is pretty significant, almost 70%. So we do tend to work closely with the schools as best as we can.
I have a great relationship with the media specialists out in the Richland Bean Blossom School District, which is the district I serve with the branch. And they are very aware of what we do and that our goals are similar. And I sit in on a lot of committee work at the schools to marry those goals together. But often the media specialist invites me into the school at different times. For instance, they have their accelerated reading program all through the school year where a child can read a book and then take a computer quiz on it. And when they reach a certain level on that, then I come into the schools and do some storytelling to reward them for their reading. So there's all kinds of times throughout the year where we're invited in to partner with those folks. Mm-hmm. It's important to have.
Good. Okay, our phone numbers again, 855-0811, 877-285-9348, and noon@indiana.edu. And I know that Josh and Lisa and Stephanie all want to hear from you. They want to know what you would like from them.
Yeah.
And the different suggestions you might have about the children's library situation. So just feel free to give us a call or send us an email. But you don't feel sorry for us. We're fine. We will carry on here if you don't want to join. But we would appreciate it if you gave us some call.
I'm sure all those parents of children are at the library right now.
That's probably what they're doing. That's right. Here's a question I have to ask. I know it's probably hard for you to believe, but I can remember when I was a little kid going to the library. And, you couldn't keep me out of the Curious George area or the Dr. Seuss area. Has anything replaced them, or is that still where every kid goes?
Those are some of the classics.
Are you kidding?
Well, they'll live on. Don't worry, Bob.
Okay.
It is strange that in our collection services, they just ran a report. Pam Wassmer just figured out that in children's older picture books, if they stick around, their circulations don't go down. Uh-huh. So these classics, because all the parents come in, if you took a child into the children's department today, that's probably right where you would still go. We all remember that,
Wow, that makes me feel better. So are there new classics coming up that kids will be talking about you know, 40 years from now?
Yeah, we all have, I think, some of our new favorites. I'm a big fan of Mo Willems and Nuffle Bunny and some of the early readers that he has out now. There's A Bird on Your Head. And
My friend is sad.
So that's part of the joy of our job is getting to learn about some of the great new books that are coming out and being able to recommend them to kids. You know, we'll have kids ask, can I read this book I have at home? And of course, but, you know, we've got a whole bunch of new great things at the library. Just I'm sure we'll be able to help you find one that interests you.
In fact, when I go to the schools, I always remind them, we're not reading teachers. We're readers advisors. We help people find the right book for the right person at the right time. And we help them find this. And just yesterday, Lisa, I had this young person at the desk who had one of those questions we all love where they just have a couple clues. And, you know, hopefully it's not the book was green and tall. But she told me that it's a series of picture books and it's about a bird. And that was all I got from her. So I fished a little more, and that's when I learned it was a pigeon. And I went, oh, that's the Pigeon series by Mo Willems. And we were able to head right out there for that. So this is our specialty, is knowing, you know, these new books that come in, getting to know them. In fact, I was just sharing with them that I highly recommend a new picture book that came out called Oni, the Postal Carrier's Pouch Pooch. And it's a true story. It's based on a true story of a dog that in the 1800s helped the postal carriers and traveled around the United States with them. So there's new stuff all the time, and we do help out the Herald Times with a book list they have every summer so people can look to that. But we have book lists on our website that people all over the world email us about and thank us for, and book lists in paper form in the library, and then you can ask us, and we'll work with your child in a reference interview to figure out what kinds of things they're interested in, what age they are, and what they might want to read, and really help them leave with an armload of good things.
Yeah, and the other favorite question is, I hate reading. I don't even want to read. And then and it's, well, what do you like? You know, and finding stuff like
and
that.
And sometimes it's the kids that introduce us to new titles or make us aware of some things that we should add to our reading list. I don't think we can keep enough copies of Diary of a Wimpy Kid in stock.
That's a big one now.
And our story times are also on – some of our story times are now also on the CATS channel, the library channel. And so it's for folks who have cable a way to see us share some of our favorite classics as well as some new titles. And I wanted to mention the last couple of years the American Library Association established a new award. There's some of the longstanding awards for novels and children's picture books, the Newbery and the Caldecott Awards, but there's a new award for early readers that's named after Dr. Seuss.
I see. Okay.
So some of those early readers.
So for those early reader books, do you have certain sort of qualities that you look for? I mean, what makes a great children's book?
Well, Dr. Seuss did write the very first controlled vocabulary, easy reader. It was Cat in the Hat. At the same time, Little Bear was coming out, and the publishers were meeting a need that they heard from librarians and from teachers, which was that kids needed something as they moved from the picture books into the longer chapter books. They needed these transitional books that helped them. And so an early reader would be one that has a controlled vocabulary, meaning it has a limited vocabulary that sometimes repeats itself, and the words that are chosen are ones that they can acquire to some degree easily. And so we read reviews for these books to see if they're well-reviewed and what age they're for and if they meet a need that we have in the library. We have a lot of things in our selection process when we're looking for these books, including our budget. And but there are so many great things. I mean, there are thousands of books published every year for children through young adults, and our job is to try and winnow that down to, and we have some great selectors who help us with that.
Well, let me ask you the same question about teens and young adults, because it seems like that's an area where, you know, there are so many varied interests, and there are also so many varied levels of sort of experience and knowledge. You know, again, how do you sort through that to come up with a range of books that you think would be popular?
By that point, the interview, the reference interview, as it were, you're usually asking what they read before. And then trying to give them – a lot of teens and young adults tend to be a little more shy approaching the desk.
Browsing on their own a little more.
Yeah.
Word of mouth from their friends is a sometimes more valuable than our recommendations.
Right. Or strategically placed displays.
Book lists. But we just had some teens in yesterday. And out at the Ellisville branch, we have a wonderful young adult collection. And it really is the best of the best because we can only afford. So we're reading those reviews. We're getting the highly popular and the high quality items. And we're keeping some of the classics that are always going to be important to teens. But there's a lot of new stuff coming out, too. But I had these two girls come up, and she was sheepishly asking for a story about romance. And she even said, oh, that's embarrassing to ask for. And then she described to me that the kind of romance she wanted, you know, with a little supernatural in it, too. And I started doing what we call a book talk out in the stacks, where we walk out there with them. We continue to do this reference interview that we do with all ages and assessing what they want. And I described a couple titles to them, and there were two girls, and they were so excited about it. They literally giggled with delight. And I was able to get a couple copies so they could read them together. And that was just refreshing. And it actually happens quite a little bit that these teens will ask us. But I think a lot of them are finding these on their own well.
And working with the selectors to just make sure that we've got a wide variety of genres and things that are going to meet the reading abilities of kids at different levels. And listening to our patrons and what they're asking for, the young adult department has had a graphic novel collection that we're looking to expand now because we've just had so much interest in graphic novels, and the children's department is establishing a separate graphic novel collection now as well.
So is graphic novel and comic book the same thing?
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah, that's a highly contested. Yeah. I could take you to some really bloodthirsty committee meetings and that. Essentially, yes, a story that arcs through panels of pictures and speech bubbles. I think they picked up graphic novel to try to get us away from the superhero stereotype.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was actually a very serious question on my part. I didn't know.
Right. No, they went there, and they are circulating like gangbusters. There's a ton of graphic novels that are even in nonfiction now, history and biographies that they just do very, very well. Yeah. Kids respond to that kind of storytelling.
Yeah, okay. 855-0811, 877-285-9348, and noon@indiana.edu. If you want to ask Joshua Wolf or Lisa Ciampelli or Stephanie Holman a question. The graphic novel comic book thing. I mean, I remember, again, all those years ago, reading, all my favorite comic books. Mm-hmm. We didn't call them graphic novels at the time. And I was getting a whole lot more value out of those than anybody would have told me at the time, that I was actually reading things.
So. Yeah. I remember librarians kind of looking down on comic books in my experience as a child. So this does sort of represent a turnaround. And we still get patrons who are surprised that we have
There's research.
We're quick to tell them. Yeah.
Comic books that you enjoyed actually increase your vocabulary. And because you have to intuit a lot from the visual as well as the words. So there's a lot to benefit from a comic book. And it's not just the reluctant reader that enjoys those. Heavy-duty readers love them, too. And it's just like everything. The library is a buffet, and you come in and you try a little of this and try a little of that and get a balanced life, a little foundation of literacy there from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. We have a phone call. We have a phone call, and it's Linda. Linda, go ahead.
One of my fondest memories as a child, I'm talking 6 through maybe 12, was going to the library, particularly in the summer when they had the summer reading programs, because all the way through the 8th grade, I think, if you read so many books, they came to your school the first of the year and had a convocation or something and passed out awards and certificates, usually for reading so many books during the summer, and just a bit of recognition. But that wasn't the fun thing. The fun thing was reading the books.
Oh, yeah.
And I probably, that's where I read Boxcar Children or Boxcar Kids. Mm-hmm. And the Dr. Doolittle, remember the Dr. Doolittle? I'm telling you how old I am here. But I remember those programs so well, and I really feel like that having the privilege to live in a town where we had such a fine library and a fine program really influenced my life.
Oh, thank you, Linda.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call.
Surely.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Thanks. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who would say similar things, but thank you, Linda, for calling. We have an email that just came in. It says, could you talk a little bit about your much-anticipated upcoming children's graphic novel section? Mm-hmm. And then there's a second question. Just says, also, we loved attending the story time that you had last summer for older kids. We'd love to see more of that throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So good. You can react to both of those.
A lot of libraries do have a graphic novel separate section, like a browsing collection. We do have a ton of graphic novels in the children's area already. They're just spread throughout fiction and nonfiction in all ages. So we are already in the process of pulling and giving them their own collection code. We've got only about a cart so far, but they will be – if you just come into the children's desk and ask where they are, we can show you. They should be filling the shelf soon. We're buying new ones, too, to sort of augment that. Yeah.
And we'll have that at the Ellettsville branch, too, a separate children's collection as well. I didn't know if there was anything else you want to say about graphic novels. But I just wanted to, on Linda's comment earlier, share with you that a mother came in. We get lots of stories like this all the time. Her pre-kindergartner came in last summer for the reading game, and older sister was doing the game. And little sister was thrilled that she could do it too. And because older sister was leading the way, little sister was really working hard to read lots of stories over the summer. And the mother says to me that, I know that your summer reading program is the reason why my kindergartner, she's a kindergartner now, is reading at a third grade level. It all started last summer with your reading game. So there's lots of anecdotes like that we get all the time, and I just love hearing that from Linda, too.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Great. The second part of this email or question about the story times for older kids.
Yeah. We're all members of the Bloomington Storytellers Guild. A lot of the librarians are storytellers as well as readers. And we do try to have a couple times during the summer, especially, and other times throughout the year, have some storytelling programs that are targeted to older school-age children. And so we are doing this summer, in keeping with our bug theme, bugs of all kinds, some Anansi stories. Anansi is a trickster character from folklore, a spider who gets into all kinds of trouble. And so we'll have a variety of stories about Anansi, and that'll be a program in the auditorium on Monday, June 23rd. And we will also be telling some creepy campfire tales in the auditorium on Thursday, July 10th.
And what age group are you looking for there?
It's open. The Anansi stories are open to school-age children in general, K through 6. They probably have the most appeal to about that third grade level. But they're really good stories for a wide age range. Mm-hmm. And then the creepy campfire tales are targeted a little bit older, just so we can tell some slightly spooky ones to second through sixth graders.
Ooh.
And we encourage children then to take those stories and tell them themselves on their
Is there
audience.
A hook involved with any of these creepy stories?
We don't go to the hook.
Some of
the hook. I can't take the hook.
All right. I have to ask before, you know, we have about 5 minutes left in the program. I have to ask about the new technologies and the use of technology today and what kind of differences that's meant for being a children's librarian.
Gosh, that's another fun part of our job is keeping up with some of the new technologies that are coming out and looking to see just the different options kids have for finding information through some of our electronic resources, looking at the additional ways children have of enjoying stories. In addition to our favorite books, there are stories that are on CD-ROMs and audiobooks. We're developing a downloadable audiobook collection. And of course, the web has really expanded options for kids. We have a Tumble Books subscription service, which is available through our website, where kids can find electronic books as well as puzzles and games to read. Stories to read.
They're literacy games, there are a lot of really well-known children's picture books are in that. So you can get onto the web, and the book will be read to you. And then you can play games with the characters and stuff.
Yeah, our website for all ages is a place to go for accurate, helpful, informative links. Mm-hmm. We work very hard for children through adults to really create pathways that are helpful and accurate and safe. And if you go to the children's website, you're going to find some games that are age-appropriate and safe sites to go to. And we talk a lot about that on our webpage. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, what's the address for the webpage?
www.mcpl.info and then /, and children's to get to the children's homepage.
Okay. And we have another email. So it says, "Hi there. I have a 7-month-old and have basically been reading to her and showing her books since she could focus her eyes.
Awesome.
But she's crawling now and interested in everything except sitting still. She also just wants to chew all the board books, and that ruins them. Do you have any recommendations about how to read to an infant of this age? Thanks for talking about this today, and hi to you two, emailer."
Oh, gosh, 7-month-old.
Cloth books.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they make those books for. Yeah. You know, the board books are.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we have in our – we have plenty of chewed on books, not to worry even about chewing on the library books. We
do it ourselves sometimes.
That's what babies do. It's part of how they learn. To be able to find times when your 7-month-old is at his or her most calm, to try to really get through a story, but even just to read as much as they're willing to listen to, just to read a page, you know, not to worry about getting through that whole story. It's the sound of your voice, the words that you're sharing, the rhymes that child is enjoying.
And the closeness. And we emphasize all the time, follow their lead. If they get up and start bringing you something, just put the book aside. Don't ever try to, like you said, finish the book or enforce a regular time if it's not working. Flexibility.
And in our baby programs, a lot of people worry, oh, my child won't sit still.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're my child won't. Well, our programs are designed to help your children through their ages and stages of development. And we don't mind a wanderer. We don't mind the verbal practices in the middle of story time. We are helping your child learn how to be in a social group and listen to in a group setting.
All right.
We do have a whole series of handouts in the children's department that give recommendations for how to read stories and books to choose for children at specific age levels beginning at birth.
Okay. Nicole, thanks for that question. All right. We are out of time. It went very quickly, and we'd love to have you back sometime to talk more about this topic.
Thank you.
I want to thank Joshua Wolf from Monroe County Public Library, as well as Lisa Ciampelli, who's also from MCPL, and from the Monroe County Public Library at Ellettsville, Stephanie Holman. Thanks, all of you, for being here today. For Mary Catherine Carmichael, who wasn't with us, for producers Ariana Prothero and Catherine Hageman, and engineer John Shelton, I'm Bob Zaltzberg. Thanks for listening.
Noon Edition is a production of WFIU and the Herald Times. A podcast of this and other WFIU programs is available at wfiu.org.